Tonight, we are going to talk about fasting tomorrow. My message that I did this morning, and I'm going to bounce off that into something else, but have a listen to this morning's as well if you want some motivation around fasting. But my message today is entitled, It's Time to Fast. It's time to fast. One of the heroes of the Christian faith that it's worth you learning something about is a guy called John Wesley. And John, who's heard of John Wesley? Okay, John Wesley had a mullet before mullets were cool, if you look up some of the photos of him. So John Wesley, he preached in the 1700s, part of the Anglican Church, and he traveled all around England and really started what is now the Wesleyan Church. He preached over 40,000 sermons in his lifetime. He traveled more than 250,000 miles on horseback all across the UK, so Wales, Scotland, England. He traveled all across there. He'd often preach 3 to 4 times a day, sometimes to crowds of up to 20,000 people. When we were in the UK for a sabbatical a couple of years ago, we visited one of the places that he would preach to miners at a place called Glentrap. So if we can put that up right now, Gwenap Pit it is. If we've got a little photo of Pastor Danielle and I. This is us there. And go on to the next photo. You can see this pit that they've put these circles in since he used to preach. But they would literally fit in the, you're not quite getting the scale, but 20,000 people all down and around the edges of that would travel to hear John Wesley preach the gospel. They were miners, they were poor people, they were average people, they were factory workers, there was prisoners, often neglected by the Church of England, and he was renowned as someone who literally turned England upside down. And so because of this, now his voice was incredible, but that pit allowed the acoustics to travel across the whole room. And so I had a little practice preach there, it was kind of fun. No one got saved, but there were some cows looking at us really weird. But John Wesley, part of his secret of success, part of the secret of passion and fire that he had is that he would fast twice a week on Wednesdays and Fridays. He'd fast until 3 p.m. every week. So that was part of his repertoire of spiritual warfare. He required all the early Methodists, because they were known as Methodists because they had a method, a very strict way of discipline to following Jesus. So they had a method of weekly reporting on their holiness journey, reading scripture together, praying together, fasting together. And so the methods of John Wesley produced an incredible amount of fruit. By the end of his life, there were 70,000 Methodists in England, many of whom got saved under his preaching. His brother was Charles, who wrote 6,000 hymns. And so one preached so many sermons, his other wrote songs. And those songs reached a generation, and we still sing them today. And I grew up in a uniting church, which is Wesleyan and Presbyterian joined together, singing some cracking songs that I'm not gonna sing for you today. No, I'm not. So, needless to say, fasting is a lifestyle of fasting, not just the occasional fast, but a lifestyle of fasting is one of the secrets to effective Christian faith. It's not the exception. My goal for us of having corporate fasts, which is where we all fast together at the same time, is that we would do something this is what leadership is. Leadership takes you where you don't want to go, but then when you get there, you thank us for it. That's a great difference. So I don't want to go there. I don't want to fast. Then at the end of it, you're like, thank you so much for leading us to fast, because now I see why. Now I see the benefits of fasting. And so for me, I began fasting probably when I was about 19 years old, and just kind of I'd heard about it, heard it was powerful, and just for no reason, no specific reason except that I wanted God's call for my life. I wanted to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I heard it was powerful, so I just kind of began to fast. I began to fast food, but also I began to fast certain lifestyle things so I could give myself to prayer and seeking God more. And so part of what I want to do on Sunday nights, I'm kind of doing a little shift on Sunday nights when I preach, is I'm not just preaching the morning service at night. I actually feel God stirring me as a spiritual father to raise up a generation of those who know what it is to be apprehended by the call of God, whether you're called to preach, like Danique was talking about, whether you're called to prophesy, whether you're called to the marketplace, wherever your call is, I want us to have a generation who know what it is to be God seekers and to be all in for the kingdom of God. Give me a wave if you want to go all in for the kingdom. All right, So fasting then is part of that. It's not an optional extra. It's actually, Jesus talked about three things in Matthew 5. He talked about when you fast, when you pray, when you give. Right. Yeah. So you want to talk about what's the three grenades for you for spiritual warfare? When you pray, when you give, and when you fast, you are throwing grenades at the camp of the enemy that will produce breakthrough. Yeah. That's why. Now, here's two things that hate fasting. The devil and your flesh and my flesh. When you say my flesh, well, our physical body, it's like, no, I don't want to do anything painful. It's our flesh that says, I don't want to pray. I want to be comfortable. So the devil hates you praying and your flesh hates you praying. Right. The devil hates you giving and your flesh hates you giving. And the devil hates you fasting and your flesh hates it. Why? Because it's absolutely powerful for producing transformation in your life and other people's lives. A great preacher in Australia is a guy called Dr. Alan Meyer. He's retired now, but I remember when I first heard him preach about fasting, he talked about how he was a youth leader, and every Friday night, he was a school teacher and a youth leader, and he'd go to youth on a Friday night, and the kids would be chaotic, and he'd try and get their attention, and nothing would happen. And then he heard someone preach about fasting and the power of fasting. So he said, I'm going to give this a go. Because, you know, if you're desperate to try and get young people's attention on a Friday night, you'll do anything, right? So he begins to fast. And what began to shift every Friday night, he said, is that the youth would be, and a lot of them weren't churchgoers, they're just from schools, they began to lock in and they began to get saved and they began to get healed and they began to transform. And he said, the only thing I did different was I introduced fasting into my weekly routine to get God to kind of get clear in the spirit realm. Now, I know what I like in our church, and I've talked about this a little bit. We've got some people who are like weekly fasters. Give me a wave if you're a weekly faster. You have a day each week. You're like, yep, I set a day aside to fast. Numbers of people, which is awesome. So the goal here is not that you would only fast twice a year when we have a church-wide fast, but that you would step into one of the powerful spiritual disciplines that will produce power in your life. Okay, we're ready to go. Yeah. So we kick off tomorrow. Here's a few things. It's time to fast. If you need to hear God for direction in your life, it's time to fast. If you need a family member, if you've got a family member or a friend who needs salvation, it's time to fast. Come on, somebody. You'll get the hang of this. Come with me. Okay. If you need to hear God speaking to you more clearly, it's time to fast. That's it. If you have a promise from God that's not yet fulfilled and you're waiting, it's time to fast. If you need a financial breakthrough, it's time to fast. If you need a relationship breakthrough, it's time to fast. If you need a health breakthrough, it's time to fast. If you need more spiritual passion in your life, it's time to fast. If you need more spiritual power in your life, it's time to fast. If you need a miracle in your life, it's time to fast. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you right now. Now, come on, right now to you. So we're going to have a look at Daniel. Often we talk about doing a Daniel fast. Who's heard of doing a Daniel fast? Give me a wave tonight. Daniel, you know, some of us, when we get to heaven, we're going to go, dude, what were you thinking? And he'll be like, no, it was powerful. It helped you. Daniel is a key prophetic character in the Bible. He's what's known as one of the major prophets. He wrote a whole book of prophecy and probably some of the most hectic prophecy in the Bible, many of which has been fulfilled literally with kingdoms rising and kingdoms falling and then the coming of Christ. Daniel was a young man who when Jerusalem was God's holy city and they were rebelling against God, God would say, God gave them a choice. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll be cursed. If you worship me, follow my commandments, put your trust in me, then I'll bring blessing on you. If you turn your back on me and worship idols and don't fulfill, then cursing will come. And so God said, I give you a choice. And so they, numbers of the kings would lead the people of Israel into worshiping God and honoring God, but others would turn their back on God, forget about God, get filled with pride, and then go their own way. And so God sent warning after warning through prophet after prophet, but eventually through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, guys, you're going to go into exile for 70 years because you know, here's the thing with God. He's not just like Father Christmas that you just ask for something and he gives it to you. He's a God who's loving and kind, but he's also a God who's holy and just. He follows through on his word. He wants the right thing to happen for people. And so they went they were basically taken captive, many of them killed, and they were taken from the city of Jerusalem into Babylon, which is modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. And so the Babylonians took them over. Many were killed, many were wounded. And so Daniel was one of these as a teenager, taken captivity from his home city, marched thousands and thousands of miles into captivity. And let's pick up the story at the beginning of Daniel chapter 1. Then the king, which is King Nebuchadnezzar, ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who'd been brought to Babylon as captives. So he's like, okay, we're looking for the ones who have had privilege and education, so that they've already got a head start. He says, then select only strong, healthy, good-looking young men. We got any of those in the room tonight? Here's your moment, Jackson James. Where were you? Yell it out, buddy. He said, make sure they're well-versed in every... There he is. Sorry, mate. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. So we're looking for smart, good-looking, ones who'll do well in the palace. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. This sounds like Jesus in the Old Testament, training people for 3 years. Just, you know, this is what's going on. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Possibly it was not kosher. Like Jewish boys, there was food that they could eat, food that they couldn't eat. And so the way of honoring God was eating the food that he allowed. So possibly some of it wasn't food that God approved of for them in that time. Or possibly there was meals that were offered to idols. And so if you were to partake of the meals that were offered to idols, it would also be a compromise for them. So for one of those reasons, we know that Daniel said he was determined not to defile himself. Everybody say, I'm determined not to defile myself. Stop saying after me now. By eating the food and wine given to them by the king, he asked the chief of staff for permission to not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. All right, this is, we're talking about a type of young people who get favor in the marketplace, in the universities, in your workplace, in schools, who are making a choice to do things differently. That sounds like some secret powerhouse young people to me. And he said, he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. Daniel spoke with the attendant who'd been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel and three of his friends that's their Israelite names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was what their Babylonian names became. And he said, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. There it is, the Daniel fast right there. Please test us for 10 days. Oh, that sounds familiar. 10 days of testing, 10 days of fasting. And this is what he goes on, he says, at the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. Will we be better for the fast or not? Will we be sharper? Will we look better? Come on, someone wants to look better? I'm giving you a key here right now. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God, so now we've had a test, but now we're into a lifestyle. Now we're not into, remember back when we did that 10-day moment? This is a lifestyle of what they're doing. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. God gave Daniel special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. So these guys are getting a supernatural ability to learn, a supernatural ability to interpret dreams. There's something that's marking them as different, and you would link it back to their choice of lifestyle. All right, this is what we're talking about tonight. Go on. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, 3 years, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him, and no one impressed him as much as these four young Jewish teenagers. Maybe they're not teenagers now, we're not sure. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring vision, wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable. Come on, somebody, 10 times. They were 10 times the salesman, everybody, at the palace. They were 10 times the accountants of the palace. They were 10 times the prophets of the... They had 10 times the anointing. It's the 10-time anointing. I love it. But there's a price for a 10 times anointing. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. What we talked about this morning, but Daniel basically served four generations of kings. He served Nebuchadnezzar, he served his grandson Belteshazzar, he served Darius the Mede, and he served Cyrus. That's approximately, you're getting very close to 70 years as kings come and go. Watch this. As employers come and go, as governments come and go, he stayed in a place of influence. He was held in that place, and it was a lifestyle. And we find that there's three recorded fasts of Daniel, but he had a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. It was Daniel who later on we find that when he got thrown into the lion's den in his 80s, okay, and what got him thrown into the lion's den? Praying. He had a personal habit of three times a day. He would set himself in his room and he would pray back to Jerusalem where they'd been exiled from. And so his lifestyle was one of dedicated prayer and one of ongoing fasting. He did 21 days of fasting in Daniel chapter 9 to see prophecies fulfilled. He did another, we don't know about number 9. He did a 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10. There's two very clear recorded ones. He has visions, dreams, God speaks to him. He has angelic visitations. God turns up in his life. And you know why God turned up in his life? Because he set himself apart from everybody else to live God's way, to move God's way. If you fast track to the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus selected some young men. And Daniel was a foretaste or a foreshadow of a heavenly Jesus who would come. Daniel was tested just like Jesus was tested. Daniel stood clear just like Jesus stood firm when the enemy came and tested him while he was what? Fasting. And then ultimately out of that, there was generational change that happens. So I want to ask you today, are you wanting to step in? Do you want to? I'm talking about some people who want to be going on fire for God in 70 years' time. Come on. I'm talking to some young people who are going, you know what? I don't need to have a season in the world to get messed up, to get screwed up. I actually want to be in the house of God the rest of my life. I'm talking to some youth who are like, well, you know, lots of youth sometimes have this little period, 17, 18, 19, where you're trying to work out, do I believe my parents' faith or my faith? You don't have to have that. You can set yourself aside with a lifestyle and a diet that says, I don't eat that, I don't watch that, I don't hang out there. I've made a pre-choice of my diet of what I'm not going to watch, what I'm not going to eat. But it's also, here's the thing, it's not just what I'm not going to, where I'm not going to go, what I'm not going to do, it's what I am going to do. And that is, I'm going to be devoted to God. I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm going to be in the Word of God. I'm going to be in prayer meetings. You won't find you in the club anymore. You'll find you at the prayer meeting, somebody. You won't find me, come on, Elijah, spending half my wages anymore. It's cheaper to be a Christian, 10% tithe. It's just cheaper than going out every Saturday night to be in the house of God. Why is that? Because you adapt a lifestyle. But not just a toes-in-the-water lifestyle, an all-in lifestyle, marked. So that means that there's time. So one of the things that you've got to get good at if you're going to go the distance is not listening to your flesh. Or Jesus, he talks about denying your flesh, taking up your cross. How often does he say to do it? Once in a lifetime?
Daily.
Daily. Oh, what does it look like to take up your cross daily? Well, maybe it looks like no coffee for 10 days. I know, harsh, right? Maybe it looks like no sugary drinks for 10 days. No alcohol. Maybe it looks like no bread for 10 days. Can I tell my bread joke from this morning? I think it's worth it. Yeah, okay. No, they're doing a movie about how Baker's Delight was made, and they offered me a part, but I'm just a small role. Okay, anyway, all right. So, just sorry. Just sometimes things have got to be repeated. The trees are like that, and she hates my jokes normally, so I'm quite good with that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17 says this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You're like, oh, I'm struggling with temptation. I'm struggling with addictions. Things are, well, the way to do it is actually, because there's a war going on. When you become a Christian, maybe tonight's the night for some people to say, I'm gonna let God into my life. There begins this war between your spirit, which is your born-again spirit, and your flesh, which is like the old way of doing things, your sinful nature. So there's this ongoing war. It never stops. And so we go, how do I win? How does my spirit win? How do I live victorious? How do I live not getting sucked back into my past? How do I live not breaking free from addictions? And so someone once told me this as the illustration of it. If you had two exactly equal dogs and they're like pit bulls and they're going to attack each other, they're exactly the same, and you put them together in a cage for a fight, which I don't recommend, but this was the story they told me. If you did that, which one would win? And what they said, essentially, it would be the one that you fed the most over a period of time would get stronger, and that would be the one that would win. So I want to suggest to you that between the struggle that's going on in your life every day, between your spirit and your flesh, the one that's going to win is the one that you feed. So what part of fasting is doing is it's starving our flesh. It's saying, like Jensen Franklin says, it's dethroning King's stomach. You're not going to rule over me. I can even feel it now while I'm talking about it. Some people are like, oh, that's going to be uncomfortable. Yes. That's going to be painful, quite possibly. Yes. That might mean some sugar withdrawals. Yes. But that's all okay, because what we're doing is we're starving our flesh so that we build our spirit man up.
Right.
Making sense?
Yep.
All right, so let's just talk about a few ways to fast. A few ways to fast. There's I love the definition Jensen Franklin gives. I recommend if you're wanting to inspire yourself, especially the first few days, listen to Jensen Franklin. Listen to Bob Rogers. Listen to Derek Prince on fasting. Derek Prince is old school, but really effective. Jensen's more of a Pentecostal preacher, so have a listen to them. And so Jensen Franklin basically says the simple definition of fasting is where we go without food for a spiritual purpose. We go without some kind of food for a spiritual purpose. You can fast. It's not a Bible fast, but you can fast for health reasons. And there's 101 health reasons to fast. Toxins being cleansed out, all sorts of reasons. But that's like bonus points. That's not the reason we're having a spiritual fast. You might do that. Intermittent fasting has become quite trendy and popular at the moment, all right? But that's like just a bonus. If you've got some medical conditions, you need to talk to a doctor. Not that you're unfit. That's not a medical condition. But if you've got a genuine medical condition, being addicted to food is not a medical condition. Okay, just to be really clear, if you've got a medical condition, talk to your doctor. Is it suitable for me to fast, and at what level? So maybe let's talk about three kind of consistent types of fasting. So one is water, where you drink water only. I'd say that's a fairly hardcore fast. If you're doing physical labor, do not recommend. But sometimes that's, God calls you to that. Sometimes there's liquids fasting. So liquids is where you drink water, juice, and sometimes broths, okay? So that's another kind of chicken broth or whatever you get protein into, gives you a bit of energy. So that's another type of fasting. There's a liquid fast where you do soups and liquids. It's pretty much, if you can blend it, you can drink it. Just be careful about that. Don't recommend a Happy Meal in the blender. That's back to my youth days. So there's water, there's liquids, and then there's what we call the Daniel fast. Okay, this is no meat, no sweets, no breads, no alcohol, no soft drinks, no sugary foods. Pretty much anything you like eating goes out the door, and you're eating just for fuel. You might be having some rice. You might be having fruit, vegetables, and contrary to popular opinion, you won't die when you don't eat all of those other things. Okay, it might feel like you're dying, but contrary to popular opinion. So this is part of it. I've heard people talk about, I'm not fasting food, I'm fasting social media. Okay, so just technically, that's not a Bible fast. Okay, a Bible fast is where you fast food for a spiritual purpose and you have hunger pangs. And when you have hunger pangs, you're reminded of why you're fasting. And you feel weak, and you're reminded of why you're fasting. I'm denying my flesh so I can hear God's voice, I can get closer to Him. Now you might add what we'd call a lifestyle fast to your food fast. So that's like, okay, you're doing a Daniel fast. And so as well as a Daniel fast, because I spend too long every day watching reels, I'm going to go off social media for 10 days. Or maybe I watch too much Netflix, so I'm going to go off watching TV, except for maybe The Chosen, or some TV things that inspire me spiritually. So that's like, and one of the original points of fasting was that instead of going and hunting and gathering your food, you'd stop all the energy gathering and hunting your food so that you could focus yourself in prayer and worship. So it's not just starvation, but doing life normal. It's where we're stopping doing that and we're giving ourselves to God. And so that's why a lifestyle fast can be added as well. Some people do like a fast, you know, they fast through the day and have dinner, for example, each night, which can be cool. But the problem with that is you're going to have 10 days of hungry. All right, because what happens, this is really cool, if you do a liquids fast particularly, or if you do a veggie fast, once the first 3 days are hard, there's toxins leaving, you're getting headaches from withdrawals from sugar, you're getting headaches from withdrawal from caffeine, or like you're getting, it's painful the first 3 days, okay? Do not come and try and, you know, track me down and say, this is horrible, Pastor John, you told me it was going to be an amazing spiritual experience. We'll all be a bit zombie-like on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, and that's okay, okay? Because we're going to encourage each other to seek God and worship. But once you get through the detox zone, your stomach actually shuts down, and the hunger goes. Now, the problem with doing a one meal a day thing is that your stomach never shuts down, and you're perennially hungry. So it can be cool, but I don't do that personally because I like to get my stomach shut down so my spirit can open up. That's just me. But you ultimately work out what you're going to do. And I would encourage you to do these three things. I'd encourage you to do it tonight. Don't try and make your mind up as you go along. What am I fasting today? Pre-decide. So write it down. God, this is like a little fasting covenant. God, I'm going to fast this. This is what I'm not going to have. This is the lifestyle changes I'm going to make. This is why I'm fasting. So there's some church things that we're fasting together for. So I'm part of the church, so I'm believing for that. But personally, this is what I want to see you do in my life. I want to hear your voice clearer. Maybe you want direction. Maybe you need to see a healing miracle, a financial miracle, whatever it might be. But write down, well, what's your why? Benny, I'll talk to you about that earlier. Why are we fasting? And then the third thing is, I've done this for years, and I love to just go, what's your prayer goal? So, okay, if I'm fasting and not doing this, Maybe you could set a prayer goal to pray an hour a day during the 10-day fast. You might normally pray 15 minutes. Maybe you pray half an hour a day. So you set a prayer goal and just, okay. And I find when I do this, sometimes at night I'm like, oh, I don't feel like it, but I'm just going to go to my study and I'm going to pray because I want to hit this goal. And the reason I'm fasting is to spend more time with the Lord. And you build your prayer muscle at the same time. Then what happens as you fast, and I'm going to close it with this, some things begin to happen. You begin to hear God more clearly. So your spiritual radar just gets more just clarity. The Bible starts to come alive way more than it normally does. You find that God speaks about things that we just thought were okay, but he's going, hey, there's a higher standard for you. So you need to get that out of your life and bring a change in your life. You'll find that maybe you dream more because God's speaking to you more. You'll find that your passion increases. Some of the most significant things in my life have happened directly either during or after a fast. So that it's super powerful. So can we close our eyes as we come to a close right now? Father, I just thank you tonight that you're calling a generation to be set apart for the purposes of God, to be apprehended for the purposes of God. That means doing hard things. But doing them out of obedience to you. So I just ask, speak to every person here about what you want from them. How much we should fast. How much we should pray. What we're believing for. If you're here tonight, you're saying, yep, I'm in for this 10 days for some level of fasting, do we just raise your hand up real high and say, yeah, I'm in. Next 10 days is something I'm going to fast. I'm going to ask God. Beautiful. So many people. That's amazing. Can we, while our eyes are still closed, you can put your hands down. That's awesome. If you're here tonight, the most important thing before spiritual disciplines, before fasting, we're just talking about one of the weapons of our warfare. We're talking about one of the powerful things that God's called us to do as followers of Jesus. But before we get to that kind of stuff, and that's powerful, but the most important thing that you can do tonight, if you don't have a relationship with God, is to turn